Hello, everybody, again. It's good to see you all. It's good to be back. My wife would blush if she thought I was going to say anything about farms, because she knows well that sometimes I get tricked into thinking that I am a farmer. She actually grew up on a farm, like an actual working farm, not just like surrounded by one. And I spent like a good hour on a combine last night. I wasn't actually operating it. I was just in the side seat and watching somebody else do it. But now I've got this fake impression that I actually know what I'm talking about. So I won't. I'm going to try my best not to. Because one thing that was amazing was just to get to see, you know, you're inside the cab and see someone working this, you know, you get a little insight into their day-to-day, you know, into the amazing set of skills that have to get put together to make these things function. And it fascinates me, mostly because, A, it's fascinating, and B, it's something that I can't do, right? You can ask my father-in-law about all the fixes he's had to do trying to let me try. But the short story is maybe today I'll try to reverse the role a little bit, and I'm going to just show you a little bit about maybe what our life looks like. Because I mean, what I have to respect about what God made me is that He made me some sort of geek. Like it's just what I am, and it's okay. And He made my wife many things, but among other things, she's got a master's degree in nutrition, which is kind of a real specialty, and she's been able to use it in the Lord's service. And so I just kind of want to show you what that's like. Now, just in case you haven't seen us before, this is our family. We're new and improved now. this is Jonathan. He's my technical expert. He's my right-hand man out there in the field and at home, too, when I'm not around. He's the one who can plug in my wife's phone and make sure her computer works. This is Matthew. He's fun. Right, Matthew? You can see him sitting in the back there. Yeah, he's the guy who can make friends quicker than the rest of us. This is our rookie. This is William. You haven't met him before. He's new to the team. We really like him. He's got lots of potential. If you can keep in mind though, we've actually just got a short time in Canada this time. We usually try to visit as many people as we can, but we're kind of on a shorter timeline. We got to get back to some doctors. Our little one here, he's growing, he's developing well, but he's putting on any weight. And so he's about 14 pounds and he's about 9 months old. And so we've got some ways that seem to be improving that, but we need to get back to the States, unfortunately, to the system there, among other things. So we know he's in God's hands and gotten him together. So we're not worried about it, but we know that we also have to do our diligence and getting that done. And so if you keep him in prayer, other than that, you'll see him at the back. He's a wonderful little guy. But also you can see, I mean, we got three little young ones. So if your young ones are here today and they start making a little bit of noise, don't worry about it. I'll just think it's mine, and you guys can just keep going, okay? Because I'd rather have them here than not, and especially have you guys here. This is my wife, Candace. She's the smartest lady I know. I said that last week, and my mom was in the audience. So I had to be, there's a few apologies there, but it's the truth. She does have a master's degree in nutrition, and it's in nutrition in developing countries, looking at young children and the interaction between parasites and how the kids get their diet set up. And so she's been really useful in missions, and God's been using her. And this is me. I that's enough to say. So last time I was here, I think we just finished. Coming back from a trip to Congo. We had done about 3 months there as a family, and we'd told some stories about that. You may or may not remember them. That's okay. This time, I'm going to take a different path, and I'm going to talk a few stories. We just came back from Congo working in it's the same stories as kind of last time. I don't want to give you the false impression that we're African missionaries. I mean, there are some wonderful people that spend their whole lives there. We have a tendency to be North American for a while, and international for a while. And we do that on purpose. The thing is, the best stories, the things that illustrate best what we get to do, usually come from our time abroad. If I could tell you about the time that I get to sit in a cubicle and stuff like that, it wouldn't be very interesting, or give you necessarily an idea of what we do. So just to give you an idea, just so that I'm honest about this, this is about the amount of time that I spend at my desk between Gannis and I. We do spend a good number of time doing HMA like this. making sure that the people that support us, like this church does and many people within this church, know what's going on. We need this to be a good investment for you. If you have no idea what we're doing, that's a bad investment. You should stop investing. But if you do know what you're doing and the Spirit says, this is something I want to be involved with, then we encourage you to keep going. Okay? So we make sure that we get around and tell you as much as we can face-to-face what the Lord is doing, what we see it happening, because we get that advantage of seeing the Lord's hand working firsthand. And you guys have to hear it from us. So hopefully the Spirit does a good job in moving and getting the information across to you today. But yeah, I'll try to do my best. We do spend some time actually vacation. I think we all do that. And then the rest of the time we try to spend internationally. And so I spend a lot of my time, for instance, at a desk in Indiana, which is like a big surprise to me when I was getting into missions that I'd ever be there. But it just happens to work really well that way. But we also know that things only, I design products, right? We design technology that helps nationals and pastors get the gospel to their own people, right? I'm not necessarily very good at walking into Congo and speaking Lingala to the people that are in the audience, right, or the people that need to hear the gospel, because A, I have to learn language, and that's a hard thing to do. B, they know the culture, they know where they know the cultural influences that are on there, they know the myths that have to be broken down, and they know that how the gospel needs to be presented. That's not me, but what I can do is make sure that their reach goes from the few people that are around them in the surrounding houses, you know, hundreds of miles, or more, and make it help them do it efficiently and reach more people. And so we do a lot of product design, and I can show you some of them. But really, the idea is that you never know how they're going to work until you actually take them there. So if I'm just sitting in a cubicle trying to do this up, I'm going to create junk. And that's just the way it goes. And so I know that I have to get myself out there and actually try out the stuff that we're trying in the actual field and actually see if they work. My wife's situation is a little bit different. As a nutritionist, she provides consultation when we're in North America, and she can actually keep in touch. I mean, the internet's really, really broad these days, right? You can get to the smallest of places. So by text and Skype and email, she's able to support a number of people that are setting up nutrition products, nutritional programs for their own people, all right? Because if you feed people and they stay alive long enough, then you have a chance to introduce the gospel to them, right? I mean, this is the short story. But every once in a while, too, there are people that need face-to-face, hands-on in the field. And so at that time, we end up trying to work together. We end up in the same place at the same time so we can bring the whole family. Sometimes she goes by herself. Sometimes I go by myself. But for the most part, we try to travel together. And she is able to provide some face-to-face help to these things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. So that's kind of what our life looks like. I don't want to give you this false impression that, you know, that we're living in the bush the whole time. That's not true. But it is an important part of what we do, and that's where the stories are going to come from today. So I'm going to talk about two things, radio transmitters and the nutrition program, part two. Now, you guys invested heavily in part one. You guys were one of the big supporters of making sure that there's a hospital in Congo, a 75-bed hospital, patients who didn't get fed, right? Bad things were happening. And through the resources that were able to come to bear here and other partners we've got in North America, we're able to set up a feeding program at that hospital in Congo. I talked to you about that when I was 2017. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about what part two looked like. But first, I'm going to start with the transmitters. So here's a radio station, just a little bit of context. There might be audio, or there may not.
De toute la population des Fondos et de ses environs, et notre objectif. Jésus-Christ dans les airs.
Hey, we're the Scatla family and we're your missionaries currently serving for a short term in the Republic of Congo at Pioneer Christian Hospital. Along with being a hospital, they also transmit the word of God from this very spot.
So come on in and I'll show you around. Okay, so welcome to the on-air studio. We've been working a lot with the on-air announcers just to make sure they know how to use the new mixer board that we brought from North America and installed. But unfortunately, all their cables have died over the years too, so I spent hours and hours resoldering all the connections. Thankfully, everything seems to be working really well now, and so you can get a nice, clear signal over the air. I'm going to show you the recording studio now, too, that you can see through the window. So this is the other side of this inauspicious little building.
In here, we've been working a lot this week on getting another mixing board ready, all set up. If you can imagine, one of the problems the station faces is that finding good programming in Lingala, be it good Christian music or original programming, is incredibly difficult. So the team here spends an inordinate amount of time preparing their own programs together.
So here we can look up and see the 300-foot tower that transmits the radio station out into the corners.
So I want to show you this transmitter. This is what's actually putting the signal on the air. You can see it doesn't look like much. Usually it's got a cover, but the cover's off because it's just too hot here to run. This is what's responsible for getting the Word of God onto that tower that we saw and out into the community. Right now it's covering the whole town of Mvondo, but we'd like to see it back up to full power again, covering the whole range of Lingala-speaking people. One thing that I get to do is come in and help repair the equipment that's been broken. Every 6 to 18 months, something goes down. There's just humidity and heat and bad electricity that just keep knocking the equipment out of order. No matter what these guys do, it's a constant fight to stay on the air. And so I've been able over the last few weeks to come in, repair cables, repair computers, and hopefully help them get these transmitters back up to snuff, so that the gospel can go to everybody who needs to hear it. Thank you for sending us here. I hope you got a little bit of a glimpse of what we get to do here and what you guys are doing, even if it's through our hands. And our hands are doing it through the power of the Lord. Thank you for walking with us and thank you for supporting us. And we hope to see you soon.
So that's a little video we put together when we were in Congo. We were working on a transmitter not unlike this. You guys can take a look at it after if you want to. It's a pretty complicated piece of technology. There's lots of little pieces there. The guy who actually built this thing by hand works across the hallway from me at the office. This one's a little bit old. This one cover maybe a couple of towns. But as the technology increases, the one out there in Congo that we were looking at isn't that much different than this one is. It's amazing what radio can do in terms of getting the gospel out there. We recently installed a radio, a little bit different technology than this. It's powered off about the same amount of power as 10 light bulbs. When it started transmitting in Ecuador, our guy was listening to it in Elkhart, Indiana that night. So if you can imagine, 10 light bulbs of power and you get the gospel half around the globe. So that's quite an efficient use of that. Because of that, I usually say, and I think it's true, I hope it's true, that I think the gospel's in about 99.9% of people's heads right now. The problem is it's in radio wave format, and we can't hear that very well. So we end up also producing radio so that they can actually tune into those channels and hopefully hear the gospel in their own language. Now, what you saw there was a transmitter that's not working very well. It's in the middle of Africa, right? Africa's full of very smart people. This is a little town, right? And so there's not that many people there. It's really hard to get parts. It's really hard to get anybody who really understands what's going on there. Even the problems they're facing, I was having trouble with. But thankfully, God's invested a little bit in me, and I knew enough to be able to ask the right people the right questions so I could tie the right people in to do it. There's actually, remarkably, there's a national there. The transmitter was completely broken, and he came in. He's got zero training. He's just kind of figured it out on his own, right? I mean, does that sound familiar to some of you? I mean, I think this is what a lot of us have to do in life, right? Got it up to about a quarter power. So it's running at let's say, 150 watts out of 600, right? It's like a 600 horsepower engine running at a quarter power, right? It's just not going to perform quite as well. The other problem is, too, that it's dumping about half its power that it's using into heat. When you've already got like a 35-degree ambient temperature, this thing was literally melting the wires off. So you've got it running to the point where you have there, and it's got the case off, and it's got a fan on it, and they're really praying that it's just going to last, because there's not much else they can do. If it broke more, they wouldn't be able to do much. As North Americans, one of the advantages we have is access to lots of resources and lots of knowledge and lots of things like that. They're in the field, though, and they know what's going on. One of the opportune positions we get to be in is to put two people together. There often has to be these bridges between different cultures, that God's given us everything we need to get his word out, and he's asked our people to work together, but he doesn't always put them geographically in the same place. And so sometimes we have to, there's not much I can necessarily do to repair a transmitter in the middle of Africa. But I do know that there is a guy there who's got all the tools and skills that he needs to do it. And I know there's a guy back in Indiana who's got all the knowledge he is. And then just being the communicator was basically all I got to do. Now, in some sense, it's like, oh, I didn't really do much there. But in another sense, it's amazing to think that God uses, even when you're not completely skilled to do it, God will use whatever you've got and whatever you're willing to put into his service to make this happen, right? I didn't know enough necessarily to fix it, but I did know enough to ask the right questions and was able to connect them to the right people. And it seems like a silly thing to fly all the way to Africa for, and it's not the only thing we did. What happened was, just if you want to know, their transmitter is broken into three parts. The part on the left here is the power supply. It takes the wall power and turns it into something useful. This here is the exciter or the modulator. It takes an audio signal like you're hearing off me today in some electrical format and puts it into something that's kind of ready to be put on the air. And then this is the big beast in the middle. This is the RF amplifier. And this basically takes that audio signal and amplifies it thousands of percent, puts it on the tower, and gets it out into the community. This is the section that was broken. And just to give you a sense on how that was broken, if you look here, apparently it's pretty obvious, and it's pretty obvious to me now what's going on. But you're looking at it probably the same way I did and says, okay. But apparently the trick here is these things. There's supposed to be two lights, and there's only one. So you can see the symmetry. One side of the board is working, and the other side of the board is not. And because of that, the right side of the board is actually dumping half its power into the left side and just generating heat. And then it's only using half of the power that it's got to actually put things on the air. So a half of a half is a quarter, so it's running out of quarter power. That's basically all it goes. And apparently the solution is this little thing right here. This is like a, if this was an engine, this would be the transmission. It's a $60 part if you know how to get it. And so basically we're able to put him in touch with that thing. And the guy who repaired the transmitter already, you can see some, is this right? Oh, there we go. You can see some of his work here, maybe if you look really closely. He's done a really fantastic job of what he's got repairing it. But basically just give him that part, he'll replace it, and the thing will be back up to full power, right? Now, technically, that's kind of an interesting thing, but why does that matter, right? Why do we care if it's running at a quarter power? I mean, if I had a 600-horsepower truck and it's still running at 150 horsepower, I'd probably still get around, right? But the trick is that this is where the center of the radio is, right? Here, this little town in Kongo and in the middle of the Republic of Congo. This is the big Congo that you hear about most often. If you want to know where Ebola is, it's about here right now. But up here is CAR, up here is Cameroon. So you've got lots of nations around there that need to hear it, need to hear the gospel. And at a quarter power, the radio station's getting about this far, right? Which is pretty good. When we jump it up to full power, it actually doesn't go that much further. It just goes this little bit. So why would we even worry about that? I mean, it's just a little bit, and it's a lot of work to get it there. But the trick is, in here, this is urbanized. There's a town there with 30,000 people. As you start getting out, you can actually still reach these people. There's a road that goes up here. It ends here, and it ends there, pretty much. But there is a road that goes through here. And these people, you can reach them. You can reach them by foot, and you can reach them by mouth. But this section here in the orange, these are Aka Pygmy people. They live in the deep, deep bush. You would rarely ever see them coming out. They don't have any need to come out and buy goods from the local markets. They have very little need to interact with the other African populations. And so it's actually those people that we need to reach with the gospel. So fascinatingly, this orange circle is the most important area that we can transmit to. And so it's one of those things where there's a real demand, there's a real need to get the gospel out into those regions because that's where people need to be reached. And if we could get even further, then that would be awesome. But let's start with at least there. So it seems like a long way to go to get what seems like, in some sense, a marginal gain. But in the way God has structured the world, every time one of those people gives their life to the Lord, we hear angels singing, right? If angels are singing, that's no marginal gain. And so that's really what we're in the world to do, is right to reach the unreached, right? And so the Nationals can reach this, but thankfully we have the ability to go out there and help the Nationals reach that. And although it's a tiny little blip in the size of the world, every one of those people has a ticket to heaven, right? If we can get the radio out there. So that's just a little sense on what we're doing. I can talk about radios and all that kind of stuff out there too, but I don't want to bore you. And so if it's something that actually interests you, I'll stay until, well, I guess literally the cows come home. If you want to talk about that. But I don't have to talk about that in front of you guys here. Let me remind you about the nutrition program, okay? Let's switch gears a little bit. So this is my wife's work. I love talking about this because I think it's even cooler than mine. You guys might remember this. We were out there in 2017, right? She was out there by herself in 2016. We were out there together as a family in 2017, minus William. And he came with us this time. At that time, there was a hospital. And the idea between most of the developing nation hospitals we've visited is that the hospital provides the medical care. But the patient's family is responsible for feeding, bedding, stretching, changing your bed sores, getting you around, getting you to the hospital and back. And so there's a lot of demand placed on the family to make sure that experience goes okay. The problem is that not everybody who showed up at the hospital had a family. It was a high refugee population, right? So there'd be individuals that were coming that didn't have anybody to care for them. And if you don't have anybody to care for you or cook for you or whatever, good luck healing. Is the short story. And so so Candace was just brokenhearted leaving there, thinking about all these people that are caught in this position. And basically the difference between that and full healing was resources. And if there's something we have in North America, it's resources, right? Whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of us end up being the world's wealthiest, which is a hard thing to think about. So basically she went back in 2017, we went together. And there's three things to the meal. There's locally purchased rice and beans, and then there's a vegetable mix, right, to provide the micronutrients you needed. This would provide a lot of the calories, a lot of the protein, but then this would make sure that it was completely nutritious. But to get that, I should say this first. When we got there, she set up the program, the food was being cooked, the patients would actually be able to show up at this little kitchen. The kitchen staff would serve out a 2,000-calorie meal, which would be enough for all your demands for the day. They're probably sharing it with their family of six that was there, and so maybe it didn't quite go around, but it's way better than what they had before. And then there were patients that were getting food that wouldn't have got food before, right? And that is as much the work of this church as it is of us, because you guys, like I said, supported that program heavily. And so there's little boys like this who's actually eating food that you guys sponsored. So we got to see that firsthand, which is an incredible blessing. And so I hope to give you a little bit of sense today, too, that this is your work, too, just as much as it is ours. If you're part of this team, but you don't get the advantage of seeing this. And I love to be able to come back and show you things like this. This is actually happening. The only trick with that program is that we depended on these things here. These are from Ontario Christian Gleaners. You guys might know of Gleaners. Incredible organization. They provide these bags of food for free. They're dehydrated vegetables. The only trick is that you're responsible for the shipping from their door to wherever you need to go. And for shipping 2 years' worth, that was about $17,000 to get it out to that place. It was a wonderful gift for 2 years, and $17,000 to feed, 75 people every day, is a high price. But there's a number of people that actually survived and actually came to the Lord because of this, and I can share you those stories. But the short story is that's not really sustainable, right? Especially when you're in Africa and you could theoretically grow this stuff. But we needed time to get the garden set up, and we needed time to get all that going so that we could actually replace that. And so we went back this spring to get that going. I'll let Candace talk about it a little bit here.
I'm Candace Gatliff, and I'm your full-time missionary currently serving in the Republic of Congo, Africa. You sent me and my family here 2 years ago to Pioneer Christian Hospital so we could establish a feeding program. Up until that time 2 years ago, the hospital here, although cared dearly for their patients, didn't have the resources to feed their patients. I was able to run a funding campaign with your help, and we were able to come and establish a feeding program. Also, to provide a kitchen. This is our hospital kitchen here right behind us. Hire cooks, train them, and supply all patients' nutrition needs every day. We're still doing that 2 years later, But we came back this time in order to improve the program. There's a long-term missionary here now. His name's Jesse Mitchell, and I came, and together we've been working for the past 2.5 months to improve the feeding program. In order to improve the program, we've been meeting with local farmers in the area to learn about the local fruits and vegetables that we could use that would be more culturally appropriate and acceptable and sustainable compared to the dehydrated food bags that we've been previously using. Those food bags, although great to start with, have been exhausted, and now it's time to move on to something locally available and more sustainable. In addition to meeting with gardeners in the area, we've started a garden here on the compound and actually have a gardener here at the hospital using some of our own land to produce what we need to feed the patients. So it's a great concept. Every morning, working with the gardener here, our cook, working in the kitchen, is able to get the patient count, mosey on over to the garden, which is actually only a few yards that way, pick fresh produce, bring it back to the kitchen, and work it into the meals for the day for the hospital. Although it sounds like a simple concept, we've had lots of challenges along the way. More long-term goal, though, we're working at food security in the area, so we're working with the local teens and training them in sustainable agricultural practices on another garden at the hospital grounds here, and using the food produced from that to also supplement the food in the feeding program. At the same time, we're able to offer employment, which is pretty scarce around here, to young teens so they could make some money, so they could pay their school fees and stay in school. With feeding, that means nourishing. Nourishing means shorter hospital stays. And the grand goal over all of this is sharing the gospel with all involved, from the gardeners to the boys that have been working with us to the patients here at the Mission Hospital. It's been an incredible 2.5 months. We've made major improvements to the feeding program, encouraged Jesse in more of his long-term goals, and we can't wait to fly back through Montreal in 2 weeks from now when it's time for us to go home, where we serve full-time in missions at Sunset Solutions in Indiana. Thank you for sending us.
So one of the amazing things about that is that as Candace was interacting with these local farmers and local gardeners, they said, what you really got to cook is Boteco Teco, right? Of course, Boteco Teco, right? I mean, we all say, nah, it's the obvious choice. Because apparently it grows like a weed. It's like 3 weeks from the time you plant it till the time you can cook it. And everyone's like, the culture there loved it. All the people would eat it. We tried some other things. There's actually some really fascinating things. Grew on trees, literally. Really healthy and nutritious. But they said, no, we don't want to eat that. We want to eat Boteco Teco. Okay. So it was a leafy green. And it seemed like it kind of meet the bill. But the question was, what's Boteco Teco? And so I'm not sure if you guys recognize it. But tell me if you recognize this thing here. Anybody pick that out? Little one at the front. Yell it out if you can. Yeah, it's pigweed. Yeah. All right. Have you ever seen pigweed? A few places. Right? Looks like this. You know pigweed? You guys probably know this. I didn't. Pigweed is a type of amaranth. Amaranthus retroflexus, apparently. Incredibly edible. Who knew? And compares really well to spinach in terms of vitamin content. So here it is. You can see, I mean, vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium. These are all really good things. Apparently this Boteco Teco is also a type of amaranth. It's just a giant type of amaranth that grows really quickly in the African jungle. Surprised that things grow quickly there. But either way, and it strikes me as amazing and just humbles me that God would create a weed, right, that grows like a weed, that was completely nutritious and acceptable to the local culture, right? I mean, you hear about this, you know, like, okay, you know, I know that, you know, that God feeds the ravens, right? And that they don't have storehouses, and yet he still provides for them, right? And then sometimes in my walk every day, I think, okay, well, that's true, but I still have to go to work and make a salary and, you know, and buy my own food, and, you know, and I don't see him dropping food off on my doorstep. But apparently he is, right? I mean, this came out of my mom's garden. She'd been pulling them as weeds, rightly so. And she's like, this is what you want to show people? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to show people. She's like, you want me to put it in a pot? Yeah, if you would, that'd be great. So here it is, right? Something we throw away, right? Pigweed, because you'd only give it to pigs, is I think I got its name, right? But a really nutritious food. And God's just dropping it in the hands of these people who need to have it for food. We've all heard, you know, just as a random comparison here, we've all heard an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? So this is 100 grams of amaranth. Here's 100 grams of apple. You know, it's got more sugar. That's kind of nice. Other than that, you can see the stuff blow out of the water. Like I said, it compares really well to spinach, and we all know how good spinach is, right? So, a lot of these trips for us, and I think you guys who've been on the short-term or long-term missions too, come very quickly to the point where you're humbled by the Lord. That he is doing things on a far bigger scale than I can even imagine, right? He's got this figured out from the beginning of time, how he's going to feed his people, right? How he's going to get the word into their hands and ears. And it's really cool for us, you know, as quote-unquote missionaries. I say that because, I mean, we're just people, right? I'm a geek, but God's been able to put me in a position where I get to see him doing this firsthand. And I can't tell you how addictive that is. You know, it's just amazing to see him work and to know that you're part of his plan. And I know that when I was in secular industry, I was there too. But for some reason, it's just so much easier to see now. I mean, thankfully, hopefully it's easier to tell these stories now too. Because this is the work that you guys are involved in too. Like I said, this is every bit as much your work as it is mine. But I get to see it, and thankfully, you guys have provided me the time to come back and report on that. So if you walk away for right now, and that's okay if you do, just remember that you're part of God's big plan, and that he's doing some amazing things. And thank you for partnering with us in doing that. I do have a little bit of a boring piece that I want to talk about before I leave, though. It's not necessarily boring, but we are changing organizations. We were with Reach Beyond for a good number of years. For a lot of good reasons, they've decided that we can't continue with them and they can't continue with us. It's just an administrative thing, us being Canadians working south of the border. But there's this organization here, Mission Go, Global Outreach Mission, who's decided to step in and said, we'll let you do the exact same thing. So we're changing organizations, but we're not changing work. So if this is work that you want to keep investing in, it'll look the same, but there'll be a new organization that does that. This organization happens to be the same organization that was running the hospital I was talking to you about. And so we know they're good, and we know they got good hearts, and so we're hoping for good things with them. The other thing I want to talk about, too, is that we want to really be in touch with you guys. We want to make sure that you guys, as much as you want, get to see step-by-step what God's doing through the ministry that we get to be involved with. And what we get to see God doing through our hands. And so we do have a little newsletter that we send out about once a month. It's 200 words and 3 or 4 pictures. So it's a really quick read, but you'll get a sense on what's going on. If you want to be part of that, we've got these response cards at the back. If you'd pick one up, basically the first one, you just put your name on the top. If you've attended an information session, these are just kind of generic cards, but you did that today, whether you liked it or not. If you want to, the second line, if you want to find out more about supporting the hospital feeding program, you guys have already demonstrated that something in your hearts. And that program still needs a constant source of monetary input to keep it going. They need to hire the gardeners, they need to maintain the fields, they need to buy seeds and some fertilizer at some points in time, and they need to pay the cooks. And they need to maintain the kitchen equipment. And so it's not a massive need there, but if that's something that's in your hearts and if you want to support that with a one-time gift or something monthly, and that's something that you want to be involved with, check that off the second box and we'll get you the information on how to do that. That doesn't at all go through us. That goes right to the organization and right to the hospital. So if that's something that's in your heart, then we'd love to get you in touch with that because we love to see the results of that. The third line is more about us. We're always looking for people to join the support team. If we're a little bit short right now as we moved organizations, there's some people that weren't able to come with us. The good news is that's really opened up some opportunities on our support team. So if you want to be involved in a more personal way, if you check that off, if you make the commitment to make that checkbox, then I'll make the commitment to drive back out here and meet with you in person this week if you want to. And And I'd be totally cool with that, without any obligation, if it's just something you wanted to explore. But the last one, which is kind of neat, is this monthly email. If you have an email address and you want to give it to us, then we'd send you something about once a month. And it's kind of cool. My wife does a great job of that. And if you want by paper, then let us know, and you can just give us a mailing address, and we do it by paper instead. Because I can't stress more that I think we know that we want to be wise stewards with the resources that God has put in our hands, right? That's just one of the things we're called to do. Now, we really enjoy the work we get to do, and we're willing to invest our lives in it. That's not everybody. Not everybody has, and the Spirit's not moving in everybody's heart to be part of this. But we know the Spirit's moving in a few people's hearts to be part of that. And if that's what's going on, we'd love to team up with you and go that way. But like I said, only if the Spirit is. But we also feel that to make it a good investment, you need to be informed of what's going on. And so we're going to do our best to come back as often as we can and tell you in person what's going on. But if nothing else, you can reach us by email or follow Candace on Facebook or even follow this monthly email and hopefully keep in touch with what's going on there so that you can evaluate every month. Is this something that the Spirit's moving in me to keep going with? Because we need to be sure that you're sure that this is a good investment. And so I'd ask you to hold us accountable to that, and we're just trying to make sure that you've got the ways to do that. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So what are we going to leave here today? I'm pretty much done. I don't need to tell you anything more, but I'm willing to tell you anything you want to know. Like I said, we'll commit to staying here as long as you've got questions, and we'll answer anything you've got. If you want to come and poke and prod at this thing too, that's fine. If you want to actually try eating a piece of pigweed, you may never have done that before. And this one hasn't been sprayed with Roundup. I can pretty much guarantee it came out of my mom's garden. So if you wanted to try that, there's still a few leaves left. But the short story is we're partnering together, and we thank you for that. And we'd love to get to know you even more and make sure that all your questions get answered. So thank you for the time you've given us today. It's been awesome. But like I said, we'll stay here as long as you want. Thank you, guys.
I'm not sure if they were clapping for you or me.
No, you.
You know, why don't we just take the time right now to pray for Tom and Candace and for what the Lord is doing through them. And, you know, just before we pray, the phrase that kept coming to my mind back there is that God will work through you or he will work in spite of you. Mm. And I just kind of think that it's so remarkable to see the way the Lord uses every aspect of our lives and every one of our talents and gifts for his glory. Mm-hmm. And all these different areas. And, you know, if you took nothing else from today, it's just that God can use you. It doesn't matter who you are. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God is building his kingdom and he has invited us to be along for the ride. And this is just one more great example that God is building his church all over the world, not just here, but we get to be a part of what Tom and Candace are doing. Just, you know, we've never been to the Congo, or at least I haven't, but we have a part in that, and that's awesome, and I just think what a fantastic way to think about it, that God will use us right here, right where we are, and that's remarkable to me. So let's just pray as we close our service, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you that Tom and Candace could be here today. And Lord, just to hear the good reports and to see the way people are being used and resources are being gleaned, and you know, people are being fed, people are being employed, people are being just being able to use the resources that they have, and it's all for one goal, and that's to advance the gospel. And Lord, there's just so much to celebrate today, and we're just thankful for this report. And God, we want to lift up Tom and Candace. We want to support them and pray with them and just encourage them in any way that we can. Thank you, Father, that even when it seems like there are so many things that are wrong, that is wrong with the world, that you are still working, and your kingdom is being built, and we're just grateful that we can be a part of that. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. We worship you, and we thank you for your we thank you for who you are. We glorify you. We praise you, and we thank you for being a part of your family. And just help us to be faithful and trust you on a daily basis. We thank you for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make sure that you take the time to just talk to Tom and Candace out there, and take a look at some of the things that they have. And we're just thankful that you could be here today. So you are dismissed. Thank you.